Welcome back to the Big Red Hockey Cast, where we cover Cornell women's ice hockey. My name's Amanda, and I'm here today with Emily. We are here to cap off the ECAC playoffs for the Big Red, so let's just jump right into it.
So there's some things to note. Izzy Daniel won ECAC Player of the Year, which is just awesome for the phenomenal season that she had. She's also a top 10 finalist for the coveted Patty Kiesmeyer Award, so she's putting up just a great season, as most people already know. Then for the NCAA selection, Cornell was fortunate enough to get a bid with the 8th selection, and they're set to play Stonehill on Thursday. Then, unfortunately, Big Red lost in the ECAC Championship semifinal games against the Colgate Raiders. So, Amanda, back to talk about the game.
Yeah, but first, you know, we're lucky enough to get a bid into the NCAA tournament, and we're playing Stonehill, which is, they're in their second year of their program, and, you know, we haven't really faced them before, but I know they're situated in a weaker conference, and the Big Red have definitely gone up against tougher opponents this year, so hopefully that'll be not an easy win, but a win nonetheless on Thursday. But yeah, the game against Colgate, we just did not come out on top. The shots were 15-44 in favor of Colgate, and face-offs, we did have the upper hand with 37 compared to Colgate's 32 wins, but I think what really stands out here is special teams. Colgate was able to go 3-for-3 on their power play, and we weren't able to capitalize on ours going 0-for-2. Our lone goal was scored by Gracie Dwyer as a kind of a scramble in front of the net type situation. She was able to find that puck and get in the back of the net, and I really don't think that the score tells the whole story. 5-1, but Colgate had 44 shots on goal, so Bergman's save percentage might not look too good, but she was really making amazing saves that whole game that was like keeping them in it. So yeah, PK was just the biggest thing. We got to be better on that, and I know that special teams are the way to win games, and they're definitely focused on that heading into the weekend. But yeah, let's head on over to the interview. Joining us in the Simbin today is sophomore forward Georgia Schiff. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
First off, we just wanted to say congratulations on getting a bid for the NCAA tournament earlier today. Cornell was selected 8, is that right?
8th? I believe so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We know Saturday might have not have been the result you guys expected and wanted, but you know, there's still hockey left to play and you still have a lot of things to look forward to. So like, we just want to know like what's going through your head right now after this weekend and like looking into the future.
Yeah, so it was a tough loss, obviously. It's a goal of ours to win our league, but we are lucky that we set ourselves up to keep playing. And from now on, we're just looking forward to the NCAA tournament, and all of our practices this week are preparation for that.
So you kind of just already talked about this, but how do you guys prepare to go up against an opponent like Stonehill that you haven't played before?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll watch a bit of film on them, but at the end of the day, nothing too big changes for us. We just gotta play our game and show up.
You're good. It's a quick turnaround. I know you guys play on Thursday, so like, what do you guys do in terms of like rest and recovery with only like, you just played Colgate 2 days ago and now you have to jump back in and play again? So what do you guys do to like recover and prepare in that, in like more the, I guess, taking care of your body way?
Yeah, definitely we'll watch some film, less like high intensity type of training, but we had a day off, and it's pretty normal for us to have like one day off in between weekends, so we'll get back into it this Monday in preparation.
All right, so jumping a little bit back before the game against Colgate. So the team's performance against Quinnipiac was you guys sweep the series and winning the first game in overtime and then coming back to completely shut down Quinnipiac 5-0. Could you just run us through how that overtime went through?
Yeah, it felt so quick. We got a penalty pretty quickly into that, which was pretty nerve-wracking, but our PK has been lights out this year, especially near the end of the season, which is great. And so a bit of confidence. We still had confidence in our PK, and then we had a great change out of the box and got a lucky bounce off the boards, and Carell finished it off. And I know our team was found it pretty funny because at Quinnipiac they have very like circular shaped boards, and so if that's at Quinnipiac, that puck's hitting the boards and going behind the net, which is what the goalie anticipated, but the line of boards gave us a lucky bounce for Carell, and she finished it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to talk about Carell taking advantage of kind of almost like a miscue by the goaltender, because I saw the play. She came out to play it, like, going behind the net, but then the puck wasn't there. So it's an advantage of playing at home. But, yeah, going into that overtime, like, I knew you guys were going to win it just because you guys have all year. So it was really fun to watch. And then you come in the next day and completely dominate them, you know? Like, what was your mindset going into that game after, like, a pretty tough fight the day before?
Yeah, it's definitely tough, especially those three-game series. It's quick turnaround, and especially after going into overtime. But luckily, the overtime was pretty short, and it's honestly, it's tough. It can even be tough to win. You have to mentally reset to prepare for the next day, and I thought we did a great job of that. And our team really just, like, came to fight. We knew that Quinnipiac was going to put up a fight, because I mean, they're fighting for their season, and so we tried to have just, like, a mentality as if, like, this, like, as if that was, like, the game that was on the line for both of our seasons, and that helped us play hard.
So, still talking about that game, was there any, like, particular message from coach that really got you guys fired up for that game?
I'm trying to think. I mean, he's always been a great speaker to us before games. He's very well spoken. I don't necessarily think if he had anything super, like, special in particular that day. I think what's great about our team this year is that it's very player led in terms of, like, our drive and our want to win. And so I think it was kind of a whole group, like, kind of collaborative, just like the messages we were, like, sending and receiving of just, like, really just putting up a fight and winning the first round to make it to the second. And I think we also, like, in the back of our minds, we also knew that that series would also play a factor in placement for the NCAAs.
Yeah, we had the seniors on for a couple episodes ago, and they talked about how, like, even down, like, to the freshmen, like, everyone's becoming a leader and, like, contributing and doing their part. So having that come from the entire team and not just the coach, obviously, that's a really big part. But, you know, we can't forget about your impact and your play during that series. Yeah. You were a huge part of those two wins, goal in game one, two goals in game two, and an assist and also in game two. You opened up the scoring in game one, so start of the series in the first period. Could you talk a little bit about that, what it meant to get the first goal and carry that momentum through the rest of the play?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, our team has talked about the importance of scoring first and the momentum that brings for us, but I think it was really just credit to the whole team for it was a strong start from everyone. I know, like, prior to that first goal, Burks had some huge saves, which is how we get energy from the back end. So, I think that it's really a team effort, and I just got a lucky bounce. KJ was battling out front, and it was great to put one in early and try and get some momentum to carry us through the game.
So you were also the one who striked first in the second game and still scored two goals and had an assist. Can you just kind of walk us through your mindset and your approach to the weekend overall? Like, what was your focus during those two games that just helped you and your team succeed over the weekend?
Yeah, it's a tough question. In terms of preparation, I think Nothing really changed. I know that obviously it's a big game, but in our league, every game is a big game. So it's really just about doing, like, what's right for each person. Everyone was very focused and dialed in for our playoffs, and especially we have such a great group this year, and so playoffs have such a big meaning and for us, just like getting to play as much hockey as we can together.
Yeah, and also that 5-0 win was the seniors' last time ever playing in Lina, which it's a little bittersweet, but how awesome was it being able to kind of send them off in like a really, really good game?
Yeah, it's so special. Playing at home at Lina is one of the reasons I came to Cornell, and I'm sure most of our team could say the same. Such a great atmosphere and such a great community. And also with our seniors, we only have 3 this year, but they're so instrumental to our team, just all 3 of them. With like the culture, they've just paved the way for our whole team.
Okay, so moving forward a little bit, the team obviously made it onto the semifinals, and you guys didn't get the result that you hoped for, but Thursday night was still a special night for the team as you guys had the ECAC banquet where Izzy Daniel was recognized as ECAC Player of the Year. So could you walk us through the night? Was there any like particular moments, something funny that happened, or just walk us through that night and the banquet?
Yeah, the banquet was awesome of ECAC to do that for us. It was great. We got to hear from a bunch of the players on each team also, which was great. Obviously, the awards were exciting. I know our team and our culture doesn't put much emphasis on the individual awards, but Izzy has done so much for our team this year, and she's been such a great leader that we all were like crossing our fingers for her, and they called her up for Player of the Year, obviously, and our team went crazy. It was funny because like none of the other teams had that much energy, and mm-hmm. Izzy got it, and we were just super excited for her. They even made this edit of her sitting in a throne, which, if you know Izzy, you know that she is not one for the attention in the media, and so it was so funny.
Yeah.
And she was, it was like up, and it was on like 3 different screens up at the top, and she was bright red walking up to receive that award.
I know, that's awesome, and I know like a fun night like that probably settled your guys' nerves a little bit, and like winning an award with like you guys celebrating that much, it's kind of like a little punch in the face like to the other teams there a little, right? No? Maybe?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, in my opinion, like, I think it's no surprise that Izzy got it, and I'm sure a bunch of the other teams and players agree, but I think the biggest part of it all is that we were able to be super excited for our teammate to win that, and I think it kind of demonstrated to everyone else how close of a group we are, and that might have been intimidating.
Switching gears a little bit to more of your past, so you grew up in Vermont and having a pretty successful career prior to Cornell with the North America Hockey Academy. So could you just talk about like your experience playing youth hockey at such a high level before you were able to come to the collegiate level?
Yeah, so I played in middle school. I played for the Vermont Dynamo, which is not a club anymore, but they were run by Brett Leonard, and that was those 2 years were probably my biggest years of development as a hockey player, I would say. And I played for a boys team. That was a boys team. And then halfway through my junior year, all the rinks shut down in Vermont due to COVID. And so I had to leave the state to play. And that's when I ended up at Naha. And that was such a great place. I got to play with a bunch of other great players. And the amount of hockey we got to play there was also very pivotal for my development. Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about this because your class is super tight-knit and you've like had so many experiences already playing with your class before you even came to Cornell. I know Abby talked about it a little bit, but how do you think that that plays a role in your guys' chemistry now, like on and off the ice?
Yeah, our class is very tight, and it's great to have that support system off the ice, and even on the ice, it has an effect. I know the second half of the season, I've been playing a lot with McKenna Van Gelder, and she's been so great to play with. And part of that, like, on-ice chemistry does come from, like, the off-ice closeness, being able to communicate and having that trust in each other. So it's great to have a close class, and it definitely helps on the ice.
So we heard a story from Abby on the pod a few weeks ago about how you forgot your equipment for a game one time. So do you have anything to say? Defend yourself?
Yeah. So it's funny that she brought that up. That was probably my first, like, big tryout ever. I was so nervous going into it. It's funny because ever since that moment, I forgot, I don't know if she told the whole story, I forgot a shin guard. And I, like, was freaking out. I didn't know anyone on my team. Like, At the time, I was playing town hockey, and there's a lot of connections in women's hockey and girls' hockey. Like, everyone knows each other, but I didn't know anyone. And I was there, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't have a shin guard. And Abby happened to sit next to me in the locker room, and I'm like, excuse me, do you have a shin guard? And obviously she didn't, because carrying an extra shin guard is not very normal. But luckily, I got a pair. Worked out all right. It was due for a size change of the shin guards anyways. But
have you ever made that mistake again, forgetting your shin guard?
No, every time. My mom can definitely attest to this, or my dad when they drive me to hockey. I triple check my bag and my gear to make sure I have everything, and that is the last time I've had an incident with the gear. And it's just so unfortunate she was there for it, because she will never let that go.
No, it was a really funny moment on the pod when she brought it up a couple weeks ago. So, well, that's all we got for the sim bin, but you know what's next. Stick around for the slap shot round.
The slapshot round, where we ask hard-hitting, fun questions, and you have to answer them as quickly as you can. So, per tradition, we always have to ask the first one. Are you good to go, Georgia?
Yes.
Socks or no socks?
In my skates?
Just in general.
In general, no socks.
Is that, I've heard that's like a bit of controversy, like, yeah. Your hot take?
Wait, it is.
That's so crazy.
I am not wearing socks right now, but I did recently start wearing socks in my skates. I got some blisters that, as the season goes on, have been getting more painful, so I had to make the change.
A fungus risk? I'm sorry, I'm not a host.
No, you're right good.
Now, is there no?
Do you not get blisters like normally without wearing socks?
I used to not get blisters, but. So ever since we got the custom skates here, they've just been a little tighter fitting, and I had to start wearing socks.
That's awesome.
That's wow.
Okay. Favorite type of cheese?
That's difficult. I actually don't really eat much cheese. I'm lactose intolerant, but I'd have to go with Parmesan because it has the most protein.
Okay. Favorite place to eat on campus?
Trillium.
What hockey slang do you use too often? Could be like on or off the ice.
I say the term barn burner quite a bit.
The clumsiest person on the team?
I have to go with probably Deanna.
Favorite drink at the moment?
My favorite drink would probably be, I'm really into the white flavor, I forget what it's called, of BioFreeze right now.
Ooh. I have not tried that.
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
What does it taste like?
See, that's difficult. Is it just sweet? You know, like, the Gatorade flavor that's, like, white cherry? Mm-hmm. It's that, but without the cherry.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
What color tape do you use?
I use black tape.
Why are you smiling?
I've gotten a lot of comments on that, but I know, like, white tape is the more popular tape color on our team. It's a little joke between Gracie and I. Grace Dwyer, it was, like, a battle drill, like, maybe freshman year, like, a 1v1 in the corner. And I think I turned to Gracie and was like, black tape belongs in the corners, as if, like, you know, like, the players that battle would use black tape, like, the tougher tape, the grittier tape color. Oh, and it's always been a little bit of a joke between Gracie and I.
That's awesome. If you could sign with any PWHL team, what would you choose?
It's a tough question. I think that I would sign with Montreal just because I visited the city a bit and it's very close to home.
Do you like Canada?
Yeah.
So your go-to coffee order, are you a Gimme fan?
Yeah, I'm a Gimme fan. Definitely go there quite a bit, especially home games. I always go with Lily, and I get an iced almond milk latte with caramel.
I'm not a big fan of almond milk, but I do like their lattes. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I have to avoid the lactose and the dairy, so it's between that and oat milk usually.
Okay. Favorite person to sit next to on the bus? If you have to sit next to someone.
That's a tough one. I know. Trying to think. I know that last year, Abby and I were bus partners by choice every road trip. We got the privilege of sitting next to each other for the 13-hour bus trip to Nashville.
Did you just say 13 hours?
Yeah, it was 13 hours, and Abby and I were, like, cuddled up in the seat trying to get some sleep.
So just, like, they were just, like, no plane? You got a bus?
Well, I think that the plane was too difficult because we would have had to have flown out of
JFK.
Yeah, it might have been JFK. Like,
It
would have been the same amount of time, and there would have been a connector. It would have been, I think it was complication. It was overcomplicated.
We'll cut this out, by the way. But yeah.
Okay. So, what's the piece of gear you're most likely to forget?
I forgot. Now that I started wearing socks, I sometimes forget to put my socks on when I put my skates on. Then I'll realize and have to put the socks on a little. I have to take my skates and shin guards off. Happened this weekend, too. I was like, oh, no. I looked down. I'm like, no. And I had to take my shin guards and bottom half of my gear off to put my socks on because they go all the way up to my knees. So.
Oh, my God. Hey, what's your biggest pet peeve?
Hockey related?
No, just in general.
It's difficult. I don't know if I have many pet peeves. Actually, I think there's one. This recently happened to me is I put my wired headphones through the laundry machine and only one works. And so I was on, like, usually this isn't a pet peeve of mine, but I was on the bus trip, on the bus to Colgate, and it was a 30-minute bus trip from our hotel to Colgate. And ever since I put my headphones through the laundry, only one works. And so it was just really loud in one ear and silent in the other, which was turned into a pet peeve this past weekend, I'd say.
You still use wired headphones?
I know. Abby's always on my case about this. I have AirPods, and I love them. I charge them, like, once or twice a month. So there's, like, they're probably dead for half, like, 2 weeks out of the 4 weeks of a month. And so I'd say I use my headphones until they die, wait a week, and then charge them, use them until they die, and then wait a week about.
Smart, yeah.
What's your biggest hockey pet peeve?
He's curious.
Oh, my biggest hockey pet peeve? I would say... I think that one of my hockey pet peeves is when, here, this is definitely it, when you're racing for an icing and you catch up to a play and you think you're going to get there first and then they blow the whistle for the icing. It just, it's not even a pet peeve, it's just, I find it so frustrating sometimes. And you're like, oh, I'm so close, and they blow the whistle, and definitely had that happen a few times.
Okay. Go-to pregame meal.
Usually the night before games, I eat salmon, or if we have, like, pre-game meal the day of the games, I'll have salmon usually. It's my go-to, and I'm also known for every meal at Appel that we eat, I always get a bowl of shredded chicken on the side of whatever I get, so you could say that's kind of a pre-game meal, because it's pretty regular.
Okay, and then favorite class you've taken at Cornell?
Favorite class I've taken them in right now, the course code is LEAD 3100, but it's called Foundations in Leadership, and the professor is great. It's just a very, like, activity-based class.
Well, that's all we have for the Slapshot round. Georgia, thank you so much for joining us on the pod today, and we wish you the best of luck heading into the NCAA tournament.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Timekeeper, how much time is left?
1 minute remaining in the interview. 1 minute.
What a great interview that was with Georgia. We got to hear a bunch of stories about the team, and it's just really great to hear from the players and how they're feeling heading into such a big weekend. So next week, the Big Red are back in Hamilton to play the NCAA championship. They're set to face Stonehill on March 14th. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast. Make sure you tune in next week for weekly episodes and watch the Big Red Women take on Stonehill in the NCAA championship. Puck drop is Thursday, March 14th at 7 p.m. Go Big Red.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast. For and from the line of faithful, this has been a Big Red Sports Network production. BRSN is a student-run organization dedicated to promoting the voices of Cornell student-athletes. Make sure to check out at CornellBRSN on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and www.cornellbrsn.com. Special thanks to our producers, Anthony Sespe and Jane McNally, and the entire BRSN team. See you next week.